Good morning. And once again, for anybody who doesn't know me, my name is Lance Morrow, also known as Big Bird in the children's ministry. I've had the blessing of being with the River about 20 years, and it is such a privilege and a blessing to be up here today. This morning, the church family, how many times I was told this morning, people praying for me as I was preparing this message. It's just a blessing to call all of you church family. And another blessing, my wife, Liz. This past 3 or 4 days, as I've been working through this message, last night we're eating dinner, and I go and I take the first bite, and I said, oh, maybe we should pray. And she said, we just did. And I'm like, we did? And she goes, yeah. And she said, you're thinking about the message, aren't you? And I said, yes. So thank you, Liz, for putting up with me for 3 or 4 days, putting this together. Speaking of prayers, let's go ahead and have everybody stand and let's pray over the message. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for our freedom to join together to hear what you have for us. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of speaking today. And Lord, I ask your blessing that every word I speak today is blessed and ordained by you. Lord, we pray for the peace that only you can bring to all areas of our world engulfed in fear. Lord, we especially lift up our brothers and sisters in Israel this morning. Lord, we pray for their healing. We pray for the reunification of any families that were separated there, and Lord, we pray over what you know they need. We pray over that. It's your will, Lord. And we pray that the people of Israel are healed by what happened yesterday. In Jesus' almighty name, amen. Everybody can be seated. So the title of the message today is False Evidence Appearing Real, which is also an acronym for fear. It goes without saying, yesterday illuminated it even more for us that fear, the fears that are piling up with everything that's happening, everything from obviously wars, people being divided, political divisions, crime, finance, it's just piling on the fears, piling and piling. And one thing I should mention, I've said this before, I am a self-acknowledged nerd, and I should tell you, this is one of the most interesting times to be a nerd. In my 53 years on the planet, this is the most interesting time. Maybe you remember, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, there was actual testimony in front of Congress by serious people. We're not talking about jokesters or whatever, serious people, that aliens are real, okay? And here I am, I'm a nerd and I grew up, I know it's science fiction, it's not real, it's fun to watch. They are testifying, seriously, this stuff is real. And if you haven't seen it, there's a really great sermon out there on YouTube called Days of Deception. Thank you, Chris Johnson, for sending it to me. Days is spelled D-A-Z-E, so if you're wondering about this whole alien thing, I would encourage everybody, it's a 3-part series, there's a lot. Go and watch that sermon, it's amazing. But there is, from a nerd perspective, there is undeniably something that is dominating the news that is undeniably true. It is 100% true. Oh, I'm sorry, I should have put that up. There we go, there's the cute little alien. It is artificial intelligence. Anybody know who that is? Somebody said, yeah, I didn't hear the name. Hal. Everybody knows Hal. He's the wonderful robot artificial intelligence from 2001 Space Odyssey, and he had a few problems. I think Pastor Rod, I was talking to Pastor Rod about this message, and he said something I had to include, that we have been conditioned by the entertainment industry for a long period of time, we're talking 80 years, to be fearful of artificial intelligence, also known as AI. This week, yet another article came out about artificial intelligence, and it was a survey, and it said They ask these folks, what concerns you the most, or what are you most fearful about in artificial intelligence? And the answer will surprise you. But first, if you go back to entertainment here just a moment, who can forget this guy? Evidently everyone. Okay, so that is Gort. Gort is from the movie from 1951, The Day the Earth Stood Still. So it's always like aliens and robots in these movies. So alien lands, boom, spaceship comes down. I think it's in front of the White House or somewhere in Washington, D.C. Alien comes out and says, hey, great, you're going to come join the spacefaring races, okay? What do? Naturally, we shoot the alien, okay? Out comes Gort, and Gort has that like little laser, and he teaches some people a lesson. So the fear starts in those 50s movies, and this continues throughout the years. We have other forms of artificial intelligence through the years. Before I get to data here, you can think of just some of the most natural one to think about in artificial intelligence is, of course, the Terminator, Skynet, taking over the world, all these things. But there's lots of War of the Worlds, had the giant machines zapping everybody. We're just conditioned and conditioned. But occasionally, entertainment would have a good form of artificial intelligence. So here we go. Who remembers Data? A few of us. Okay, all right. He was learning to, he was trying to be human. A lot of the Next Generation show would talk about him. But Star Trek also introduced that fear of AI. Anybody remember these guys? The Borg, okay. I know Jean-Luc Picard had some kind of special name on the show, but the Borg come along, and it's man and machine, cyborgs, but dominated by artificial intelligence. So, you know, if we go to a higher form of entertainment than Star Trek, immediately we go to Star Wars, and we had these nice robots. Everybody knows these guys, right? I wanted to show this picture for a very special reason. C-3PO in the third Star Wars movie, something happens. The little Ewoks, remember the little furry creatures? They capture all of them. They put C-3PO on a throne, and they worship him as a god. It's a very comedic scene. It's kind of funny. But you stand back and look, huh, AI being treated as a god. So we start to see the good and evil, even looking at good robots right there. Well, Star Trek, of course, Star Wars, of course, also had bad robots. We got Darth Vader. So again, you see the theme going through entertainment. Be fearful of technology. Be fearful of AI. So back to the survey. The survey did not reveal that people are afraid of robots, AI, taking over the world and zapping all our cities with giant green lasers. What it revealed was people were afraid of what would happen to jobs. That was the number one worry. It's interesting when you start to look at money and it starts to affect our pocketbook. Whoa, whoa, whoa. I'm okay with an Android, but hey, not my wallet, okay? And I have some news for somebody in this room. On the jobs front, jobs have already been impacted. And the very first one that was impacted, if you remember, ChatGPT came out. It was like 5 minutes later, the first job that was affected was a pastor. Pastor Rod, pay attention. So a church in Europe created a sermon out of AI. And the AI did a wonderful job coming up with a sermon. You read it, it looked really legitimate. There was nothing that set off that discernment meter about it. What set off the discernment meter is not only did they create the sermon, they created an image of an AI pastor. I could not find the image. I was going to put it up for babe. They put up the AI image, and they had the AI talk to everybody in the congregation. And it was horrible. They said the words were okay, but it made everybody feel totally uncomfortable in the congregation. Well, of course, we can't, you know, try it once and let it fail. This just happened again. AI-generated worship service, September 17th. This was in Austin, Texas, where again, they had AI lead the service. I'm going to read just a portion of what the pastor had to say about what happened after the service. He said, "I was surprised to hear several members of the church say they were able to worship during the service, but I suppose it shouldn't have surprised me, especially since I opened the service with an invitation to seek to experience God in a time when we may assume we won't. What ultimately brought us closer to God as a community was the discussion after the service. We were able to share what was most important to us in worship and how we treasure the human element in a community of faith, something that was clearly lacking in the AI-generated service. Although many were impressed by the AI's ability to create prayers, a sermon, and even an original song based on the sermon, along with being glad we have much better understanding of AI now, which is the heart and human spirit of joy and authenticity being in the sermon." So they decided, well, you know, probably not going to do this again anytime soon. So we step back. You know, actually, I want to reference something. I noticed Nancy say something when she was up here doing the announcements. I love the worship by Neil. Some more great songs. Folks were left in their hands. But Nancy acknowledged, we wish we had them here. There's a difference when there's the human element involved. So thank you for that, Nancy. So AI is yet another technological advance, and it will impact how we live. And when we look back, we see many examples of technological advancements that affected how we live. We start with the printing press. I was thinking about that years and years and years ago. You know, those people that would stand on the street and just bark out the news, you know, hear ye, you know, this kind of, those poor people were put out of work, okay? The Industrial Revolution, cars, when cars came along, seriously, the people that, you know, raised horses for a living and that was our mode of transportation, what happened with them? Television, the internet especially, completely changed how we operate. And most recently, I'm not talking about those huge cell phones that were like this tall and you had to carry them like this to talk to somebody. Y'all remember those? I'm talking about the little handheld ones now. Completely changed how we live. And AI will change it as well in positive and negative ways. The false evidence appearing real is that we need to live in fear of another technology. We will have our challenges with it, no doubt, but that we should live in fear of it. And the Bible, with the exception of maybe one scripture, I could not find in the Bible where it explicitly talks about artificial intelligence. Obviously, couldn't find that. However, the Bible is very clear when the Lord talks about how we should operate with fear. So we're going to look at a few scriptures here, and we're going to start with Moses leading the people out of Egypt. So we have all these plagues, everything happens. Finally, Pharaoh says, all right, y'all got to go. Okay, so he lets the people go. Well, what happens is the Lord hardens his heart yet again, and he chases off the people, or he chases the people. And let's take a look at this scripture here. We have Exodus 10 through 13. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, let us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. So very, very commanding scripture there. Do not be afraid. And I think it's easy for us to judge. You know, we're looking, you know, several thousand years later, and it's easiest for us to judge those people. Why were they afraid? They saw all the miracles. They saw everything. They saw how they were protected during the Passover. It's really easy for us to judge. Fast forward 2,000 years, and we look at society today. What are we fearful of today? So we have to be careful, I think, in that judgment space. Anyway, this fear continues over and over and over until they're finally on the border of the promised land. They are fearful of food. They are fearful of water. Then they get fearful of food again, and this just goes on and on. Finally, they get on the border of the promised land. We look at the next scripture, Deuteronomy 1:20, and it says, "Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your fathers, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged." And did they do it? Nope. They get together and say, "Huh, you know what? A good idea. Let's send some spies over there. Before we go marching in there, let's check it out." Okay. So Moses agrees to this. They send the spies up there. Okay. All 12 of them come back. 10 out of the 12 say, "Oh, no. These people, you wouldn't believe how tall they are, how strong they are. The word says the city walls are as high as the sky." We really need to think about this thing. Meanwhile, Caleb and Joshua, do I have that right? Are like, "No, we got this." Well, they decide to stay and not go in. And what happens? Well, they get to stay where they're at for 37 years. The Lord puts them in time out and says, "Okay." And I think he's very clear in that scripture. I don't have it up there, but if I recall, it said the burning anger of the Lord, where this has gone over and over and over, this refusal to move forward because they don't trust him and they're fearful. So again, 37 years later, we go to Joshua 1:9. "Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." And Joshua, of course, obeys. And we see this theme in the word over and over and over. Trust in the Lord and do not buy into fear. Fear the Lord and nothing else. And this is exactly what Isaiah tells us very clearly in Isaiah 8:11. "The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me." I want to pause there for a moment. I don't know the reason why. I guess it was the Lord really talking to me. When I read that, "strong hand upon me," I had to go and look up how many times does the word say the Lord's hand was upon you, okay? And I came up with 24 different scriptures, and each of them were very, very special, where the Lord was really highlighting the message that he had for folks at that time. This one's different. It was the only one I could find, and maybe other versions are different, that says the Lord's strong hand was upon me. I ask everybody, just for a moment, close your eyes and imagine for a moment you're in prayer, or you're getting prayer, or maybe you have the gift of prophecy and you feel the Lord's strong hand upon you. I think that's an attention getter, if you can imagine that. So this message, I think there's a special emphasis on this one. And it says, I'm going to start over. "The Lord spoke to me with his strong hand upon me, warning me not to follow the way of his people. He said, do not call conspiracy everything that these people call conspiracy. Do not fear what they fear, and do not dread it. The Lord Almighty is the one you are to regard as holy. He is the one you are to fear. He is the one you are to dread. and he will be a sanctuary. Very direct message. And it begs the question for anybody, you know, maybe they just didn't pay attention during the Moses thing where do not be afraid, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. Question is, okay, why should we fear the Lord? And I don't mean that to be irreverential towards the Lord, but we ask the question, why fear the Lord? And thank you, Lord, for your son Jesus, who makes it very clear in Luke 12:4 through 12:7 why we should only fear the Lord. I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after killing the body, has the power to throw you into hell. I'm gonna pause there for a moment. This is one of those moments that I love the perfect words of Jesus, and also the perfect way he puts together his message for us. Because if he had put a period right there, I'll admit, throw me into hell, and had just stopped right there, I wonder how the crowd would have reacted to what they were listening to. I can't remember which one of the sermons he was given, but it was one of them. But he doesn't. He says, yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. So we're hearing the love of Jesus, the love of the Lord coming through. You don't need to fear. Pay attention to what I'm saying. It's said over and over. And again, the false evidence appearing real in today's society is we should fear all the stuff that is going on. And I personally believe we should be wise, we should prepare, but we're not to live in fear, we're to trust the Lord. So another thought on fear, especially in the AI space, the artificial intelligence. Let's jump over to Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, who raised Christ from the dead, will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you. So, if someone has been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is living in you, the question is, why would we choose, or what need would there be to live in fear of anything? I want to make sure, I was trying to think, how should I share this? Because I don't want to send a message that the Holy Spirit living in me makes me a superhero, back to the nerdiness, or makes me have special powers or something like that. We watched Neil singing up here. I wrote this down because it stuck out to me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me. I'm not going to try to sing it. He's much better. It's Christ in us that gives us the power. And I'm probably not saying that right. It's not us having the power. It's the Holy Spirit having the power. But I think you get the intent of the message there, that why should we fear anything but the Lord when we have the Holy Spirit living in us? Another thought on artificial intelligence. I had a weird moment putting this together. I'm sitting there, I'm reading the word, and I'm looking for scriptures that make sense to tie into this. And I came across a scripture, and I have never, ever in my life read a scripture and laughed out loud. Again, I don't mean to send the message, I'm being irreverential, because obviously the scriptures, we should revere them. But I think you're going to see the reason why. Let me jump over to this. Nope. Too far. Luann, can you back me up? There we go. Joshua 8:1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Take the whole army with you and go up and attack Ai. So you can see why I had my little humor moment there. For I have delivered into your hands the king of Ai, his people, his city, and his land. Okay, obviously, I don't think that means artificial intelligence. You can see the humor there. But yet again, here is another scripture. Don't be afraid. I don't even know how you pronounce that right. Obviously not AI. Maybe it's I. However you pronounce it. The Lord's telling you, go get it. Don't be afraid. You've got this. So I just found the wording of that pretty funny. And the Lord's timing is perfect. So this week, again, preparing this for us to really look at choosing what to fear. Liz gets a video from someone here in our church body. And I thought that this is perfect for this message today, what the Lord has for us. So I'm going to play this real quick.
So me and my wife were looking at some old home videos recently of our youngest daughter being born. I'm going to show you the video. Not her being born, because my wife would be like, you doing what? We got some conflict we need to talk about. So it's a video of our youngest daughter being born. I took this video. The video you're about to watch is a video I took, but I didn't understand the power of it until I watched the video. So let me set it up for you. She's like 2.5 minutes old. Our daughter's 2.5 minutes old at the time. And they got her under that little chicken warmer at the hospital, the little thing to keep the french fries warm. I don't know what kind of insurance we have, but that's what they got her under. And the nurse is about to clean her up, and she starts to cry. I want you to notice what happens when she hears my voice.
Okay, for look, I'm right here. It's okay, it's okay. I'm right here, I'm right here. We're doing just fine. It's okay, it's okay, I'm right here. Right here, yeah, it's okay, baby.
Yo, so that was pretty powerful, right? Now it's like 7.5 minutes or so later. The nurse is done cleaning her up, and she starts to cry again. I speak up, and she stops crying again. But I want you to notice what happens when I tell her I love her.
Portland, it's okay. Okay, it's good, it's good, it's good. I'm right here, I'm right here. I am right here. I love you, I love you, I love you. Yeah, I'm right here, I'm right here. It's okay, it's okay.
So here's the thing. There's going to be times in life where it feels like you're going from conflict to conflict to conflict. Or maybe you're just full of fear because of all the uncertainties right now. The key thing to do in those moments is to be still and listen for the Father's voice. Be still and listen for the Father's voice, because he is talking to you. And what he wants you to know is that he's right here. He loves you. All you have to do is open your eyes.
Yeah, when I saw that, that was especially powerful, especially for what we're discussing today. So the ultimate question is, what is the Father telling us? And we go over to Matthew 28:20, and this is just a portion of this scripture. It's very simple. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for encouraging us. Lord, thank you for being there with us. Lord, thank you for sending the Holy Spirit. And Lord, most of all, thank you for loving us so much you sent your only Son. Lord, we love you, we fear you, and we pray for your blessing to keep us far from fear of created things. In Jesus' almighty name, amen.